Paul, the way the homestand started off with the three goals for Kyle Connor, first start of the week, just a thought on what you've seen from number 81 here lately?
Almost all year, though. He's been really good and very consistent with his game. He's, you know, all the things you see, dynamic. You know, the speed and his hands match his feet, which is unusual at that rate of speed, so he can do some really quick little things. But where he became an NHL player and now, you know, such a strong one for us is that he, at his size, he's still as hard on pucks as anybody else. He might do it differently. He's not going to maybe separate a guy from a puck like an Adam Lowry might, but he's going to get to that thing, and if it's even, he's got the feet and the hands to pull it off you and then create. So he's been just a real fun guy to watch develop over, you know, a short period of time.
What caught your attention with how good that forward group worked and then to obviously do it again here tonight?
Well, they all looked like they're really lined. There's only really one line that hadn't spent any time together, but two of the pieces had. So Kyle Connor and Patty on the right had played together and had some, you know, also some extreme success with Brian there, five goals in St. Louis, but had those big nights. So the only question was how Kevin was going to interact with them. But you're going to ask that question wherever you put Kevin because he's new to our group. And he's a left-handed shot, which changes some things. So we're happy about it. And then it's one. We know they're capable. We think of some really good things, but we're looking forward to seeing him tonight. The next two games will be real interesting for these because you're getting one and two best defensive teams in the NHL.
You obviously like to bottle that performance from Saturday. Of course, that doesn't work that way.
Kind of the whole event, Paul. Like the building was buzzing. It was just... It was Nashville, so there's more emotion there that you don't get on a lot of other nights. It was just exciting.
You said you were a little concerned about that one because of the coming off the West Coast. How about this one after such a high one?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different facets that there's always aberrations, but I've always kind of felt that when you're coming off one of these grinders that we're going through right now, but you finish it at home, that's kind of it's the day of the game off the trip that your legs aren't there, and then the guys kind of look at the last game as light at the end of the tunnel and they find some energy, and then there's other storylines with us. You watch that building, and that game was playoff-like in feel, and if it's not that same kind of energy in there, it'll be a little quieter. You're facing a team that's really good defensively. So you score five, you have a bunch of other chances, and now you're going to play these next two games. They're not going to give you anything. So the feel on the bench is, hey, we're not playing as well as we did against Nashville, but you might be. It's just a different circumstances. They're fighting for their playoff lives, and the potential of it being a first-round matchups, those are all pieces to this. But I'm counting on the fact that we got quite a few more smiling faces in that room than we had maybe a month ago, and guys are excited.
Says you're not getting to where you want to go without him. Why is that?
Well, he's a really, really good player, and he's very unique in what he does. And, you know, he's our highest paid player. We've missed for half a year. We played our best. It's all relative, but you need all hands on deck because you're going to lose other guys. You need the big man in the lineup.
Pro was saying, too, that he's seen some teams maybe take some liberties when Buck's not in. He's thinking Vegas.
I think everybody breathes a little, and I've told that story, and it's so true. Like, he changes the way forwards view their night, right? And I you know, I don't know that people are chirping our bench anymore, but you know, you're not checking your shoulder quite as hard going to get a puck when it's not Dustin coming after you.
Quick update on how he looks.
Yeah, so this is the big step, first big step, put on the non-contact and skate with the guys. We'll get him into a full practice on Wednesday and then kind of move forward from there. He's been able to do quite a bit of off-ice, which has been good, so he doesn't feel far off it. Dustin is one of those guys, for the most part, that could miss a couple of weeks, throw his gear on, and you can't tell, so that's positive. There's a certain timeline for the doctors to say, okay, there's the appropriate amount of healing that he can, if he feels good, he can go. And this is the week, that this past week, where he started to come into the rink saying, yeah, I feel pretty darn good.
Paul, it may seem obvious to somebody watching hockey when it comes to a bigger guy, just going back to Kyle Connor, going to those dirty areas or whatever, that sort of thing, what are the challenges for us from a coaching perspective for a smaller guy, and what does he do so right to try and to go there and yeah. take pucks off of?
Well, so we're going to be, you know, in generalities talking about smaller players because they're not all the same, but you get a highly skilled, smallish player, a slider, to come to the NHL, he probably didn't get here grinding, right? So there's a big chunk of the game that he wouldn't have had to, or needed, had a lot of experience with, and all of a sudden now you got to be a piece of that. You've got to get in and get on pucks, and it also goes to our style of play. And it was, I mean, you can't expect a guy at 18, 19, 20 to be a perfect player when he steps in, and that was his challenge. How do I get to pucks and get on pucks and stand? How do I play a hard grinding game without actually being built to grind? Well, he's got incredible speed and quickness, and he's got a really good set of hands on him, so he can knock things down defensively. So much of what gets created with whoever he plays with is it goes from them having possession to us having possession because he's just knocked something down and then got his hands on it. And if he's got any kind of room, he can get 3 feet away from you before you can check him again. He developed it. He spent time on it. He worked on video. We have drills in training camp that are built specifically for it. And most importantly, he decided that he was going to do it, that he was going to add that to his game.
Is that the big challenge then, to decide to do it for?
It seems to, it's, well, no, I'm going to say to young players.
Sure.
So they've come here and they've been drafted high in the National Hockey League, and they have other friends around the league that have, and they're skilled guys, so what they're doing is good enough. And then there's this other big piece that you have to buy into in the NHL that you have to develop, and some guys do it well, and some guys never quite get to it. And you'll always be able to find an aberration of a smaller guy player who stays out of traffic, who puts up huge points, but for the most part, young players realizing that the things we're asking them to add to their game or improve on, it's not a character flaw. I never had to do it before. What do I got to do it now? You know, and they kind of, all right, I get it. I get that I got to keep my shift length a third and my legs got to be driving. If that's my guy, I can't let him beat me. And if I can't knock him on his butt, I got to figure out a different way to contain the puck.
Paul, how does the coach quantify the value of the physical element in Brandon Tanev's game?
Well, quantify it, we just measure the number of hits, but if we were going to qualify it, the value of it is, well, let's just, so marry the two ideas here. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. If the idea is the puck is in their corner, and we don't have it, they don't have it, and you can keep it there, do it any way you want. You can get in there and skate fast and touch it first, or you can put the other guy into the boards. What it does, though, is if you're a forechecking hockey team and you can get the puck on the wall, that makes a difference. So it goes to the Dustin Byfuglien effect in our end of the ice. If a guy's got lots of time to turn and put it on somebody else's tape, you got a problem. So what Brandon Tanev does on that line is on those 50-50 pucks or a puck that's dumped in, he has an impact on what that defenseman decides to do with the puck because you're going to get hit. And most of them are going to put that thing on the wall, which makes now the rest of our forecheckers a lot more engaged.
Morrissey and Brisbois also on the ice today. Anything new or you can tell us on there?
So Josh has a window. He's right where he's supposed to be. And we'll consider Lauren for the full skate in a couple of days. So he's not far off getting back into the full rhythm. Whether we have him back up for the island, I'm not sure yet.
Well, watching Kevin Hayes on the ice, I mean, you kind of understand what you're getting in him. Just, you know, he's played for the same team for all the years. He's been in the league. But what have you learned from him since he's been here, since you got a chance to sit down and talk with him and then tried him in all these different spaces?
Well, he can cover a lot of areas. He's got experience on power play, penalty kill. He's kind of sat in behind Zibanejad, so he's been in that second hole where you got to do, maybe it's not all offense, you're going to end up sometimes checking. He can do both. There's an awful lot of... and this is not meant to, we play a different game than the Rangers do, and he's played there a long time, and he still has an awful lot of that in game, but he's been really good at starting to tailor that out to play differently with the players that he plays with here.
Is that instinctual, or is that a heavier game, or is it because he's playing on the East that it's a...
Well, first of all, it's style. There's a difference. So how they moved the puck would be different, really, than how we moved the puck. They stayed away from the puck an awful lot. There's a lot of rink wide. There was a lot of seam play, and there's just that part. There's less for us, but there's definitely less in the Western Conference, right? There's just not as much of it here. So it's that part's been an adjustment, but he's certainly been open to it.
I know what goes on in your guys' back room versus what we talk about outside of the locker room, but yep. Everyone kind of saw Hayes' acquisition as that hole in the second line. So very similar, obviously, to Stastny last year, and then of course with that second line was just a matter of time before chemistry. Or was the plan? I guess my point, my question is the plan or the hope was that Kevin Hayes was going to develop a chemistry with Patrick Laine to give that second line
that one for me wasn't as clear. I think that Paul and Kevin are quite a bit different players and style wise. More because we didn't know that it would be Kyle Connor, and we'll still see how that goes. No, I think I probably knew Paul as a player better, being that he was in the West and he'd been in the league longer and had a real clean understanding of his style of game and what he would be able to do. There's always that unknown. Because Kevin could go to a wing on a checking line as just as easily as play in the middle on that line. So, well, we like where we've gotten to. We've liked his game in a bunch of them. It's still early.
Heading into tonight's game against Dallas, the Stars power play has had some of the most success against Winnipeg, and not a whole lot of minutes to look at, but they've scored.
Yeah, it didn't take them long.
What is it that they do so well? What's working for them, or what has worked for them that you're going
to
need to shut down?
They get the puck to the net from the top as well as anybody. I mean, the next team that comes to mind is the years that Arizona/Phoenix was so. They had really struggled as a team, but their power play was always elite with Ekman Larson across the top. Now, we'll talk about Radulov, Ben, and Seguin, and rightfully so, but Klingberg across the top gets the puck past that first layer to really good sets of hands in behind it, and that's been our challenge.
That speaks to kind of the speed of the decision-making and the way that he's able to sort of track across the line.
Yeah, I mean, they have no problem just – and when you look at their goals they've scored recently, they're very, very similar, but he can – put it to the net from the top and have a big man in Ben net front if that's what they do, or kicks it out and you've got a Seguin, Radulov one-timer on either side. That's ugly.
Some of the guys have been saying that there's a little bit more freedom to pressure outside of those flanks at this time than, say, a year ago or early in the season.
Right.
Necessarily. How have you seen that working for you guys, and how do you like that, especially against the team?
Well, we've liked our penalty kill since we've moved some pieces around on it in terms of how far we'll let people get out and how we recover on it. We're comfortable in the direction that we're going.
And the last one for me is there's a very realistic chance that this could be your first-round opponent in the Stanley Cup playoffs. How much extra prep that leads into a night like tonight? How much extra after the game, how much extra review goes into a game like tonight?
Well, we would have started that process a while ago on what we thought were the four most likely candidates. So we're tracking all those teams now.